All right, we're going to talk climate change, folks. A couple of angles, actually three angles I want to look at this from today. First of all, what's going on in the U.S. Congress? It's discouraging. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but good article in the Guardian about how the Republican Congress are doing their best to make sure that big oil doesn't have to lose another lawsuit. And I mean, they've been sued a lot. And for a lot of good reasons. And the effort in the Republican House is being led by Harriet Hageman. She's from Wyoming. And as everybody knows, this guy, Ted Cruz, U.S. Senator from Texas, is leading the charge in the U.S. Senate. And both of the bills they're proposing would give oil and gas companies, you know, pretty broad immunity from any, not just lawsuits, but also against policies that are attempting to hold the industry accountable for the kinds of, you know, harm that's being caused by climate emissions by their product. Cruz's bill, it goes even further, actually. It tries to discredit climate studies. You know, so kind of the basis for a lot of these lawsuits, right? So scientific analysis that quantifies how much, you know, climate change is already, you know, affected people's livelihood, affected the environment, affected our weather. You know, those would no longer be allowed to be used as a basis for a legal action against a fossil fuel company. And some of the language being thrown about is pretty interesting. The proposal is designed to stop a surge of climate accountability measures launched by states and municipalities, which Hageman's office called, quote, leftist legal crusades punishing lawful activity. So, yeah, there are more than 70 state and local governments that have sued oil companies for, you know, basically deceiving the public about the dangers of their products. And I was involved with this years ago, too, with the movement to expose the fact that ExxonMobil knew that its own scientists came up with conclusive evidence that its product was causing climate change. Instead of saying to the public, oh, wait a minute, look at this, we should be honest about this. They lied about it. This is documentable, easily documented. And even still, even under current law, it's been hard to hold these companies accountable given what they know. But, you know, you pass this bill, I don't know, who knows how that's going to affect it, but it's not going to be favorable. All right, so the second thing I want to talk about, the connection between war, specifically the war in Iran, and clean energy. We all know about the connection between the war and oil, because all you hear about every day in the mainstream media is hand-wringing about the Strait of Hormuz being closed, about gas prices going high. And those, yeah, that's definitely a concern, but it should be a launching point for a broader conversation about where we get our energy supply from. So there are economies around the world, in Europe and other places as well, that are trying to use this moment of high gas costs, of high oil costs, to shift more and more of their energy structure to renewables. But of course, here in the U.S., Donald Trump is doing everything he can to kill off investments in renewable energy, even stopping wind projects that are already, 70% completed? You know, and continuing to deny the science. So again, a good story in The Guardian about this one as well. Democrats have pointed to this as further evidence of the U.S. president's broken promises to lower the cost of living for Americans. And again, good that that's being called out because, you know, he said, day one we'll bring prices down? Well, you know, if you want to bring prices down when it comes to fuel, energy, expand into renewables. Do more for energy conservation. Do more for energy efficiency. Those more than anything. To me, that's the key. The more you can build structures that are efficient, energy efficient, the more you can find ways of conserving using less energy, you know, that minimizes your investment across the board, including in renewables. But again, renewables now are less expensive than fossil fuels. And yet, you know, Trump is doubling down on drilling. And so, yeah, he's not going to be able to fulfill his promise, which is already, a year and 4 months overdue, of lowering prices. But why aren't the media talking more about this? You know, why aren't they making that connection? You know, the Iran war is not just about high oil costs. It's about how a big time shift to other sources of energy. It's time for that. It's past time for that. But this is a really powerful incentive to do that. So again, there are countries that are taking this stuff seriously. And countries that I hadn't even thought of, but electric car sales are going off the charts in South Korea and in Malaysia. Okay? They're ahead of us when it comes to dealing with the energy crisis that's been exacerbated by the Iran war. And meanwhile, in Pakistan, electric rickshaws have been selling out. They can't make them fast enough. And I have some experience with that myself. When I was I went to India back in 1995 to study what current Indian, you know, Indian followers of Gandhi's philosophy were doing to address social, environmental, and political problems. And I was just blown away by the air quality in some of the bigger cities. It was just terrible. And a lot of it was because people were, at that time, switching from bicycle-drawn rickshaws, and I get why that's really hard to do, you know, to haul a couple, you know, people around in a rickshaw on a bike, that's tough. But there was shifting from bicycle-drawn rickshaws to diesel-powered rickshaws. And the air quality was suffering tremendously because of it. I mean, tens of thousands of these diesel-powered rickshaws were suddenly adding horrible quality, horrible emissions to the air. So now they're shifting, at least in Pakistan. I don't know about India, but Pakistan, they're switching to electric rickshaws. Again, freeing them up from the dependence on oil and improving their air quality. And the Indonesian president, he was recently quoted as saying, "This is a wake-up call. We will convert all motorcycles into electric motorcycles. All cars, all trucks, all tractors must also be electric." So in terms of climate news, folks, this is a good news, bad news segment. the more good news in Europe. The European Union is planning to accelerate clean energy deployment, again, to address the high electricity bills. I hate to say this, it's embarrassing to be an American sometimes lately. You know, to see what our country is doing. First of all, to even start the Iran war, there was no need for that action, no need for military action. And now to basically have exacerbated the problem of people paying high energy bills, and then to further the problem by, instead of using the opportunity to broaden the energy infrastructure to more renewables, no, doubling down on fossil fuel production. So Simon Steele, he's the UN's climate chief, he said, quote, "Wars don't disrupt the supply of sunlight or solar power, and wind power does not depend on vulnerable shipping straits." End quote. That is a great quote. I may have to put that on my email. I'm going to read it again. It's so good. "Wars don't disrupt the supply of sunlight for solar power, and wind power does not depend on vulnerable shipping straits." Nailed it. As The Guardian concludes in this article, the mounting toll of the climate crisis is the primary reason to ditch coal, oil, and gas. You know, such impacts are increasingly apparent in the U.S., as well as the rest of the world, with the U.S. enduring its hottest and driest start to a year in recorded history. That's this year, folks, with record-breaking March heat and punishing bouts of drought, heat, and wildfire strafing much of the U.S. West. So yeah, good article on why it makes sense economically to switch, but a good reminder that the biggest issue is the fact that climate change is already wreaking havoc on our country and around the world. Final thing I want to talk about relevant to climate change is data centers. There are plenty of places in the country where data centers are really, really taking off and are causing all kinds of problems. And Iowa is one of the handful of states most prominently impacted. So a good article in the Iowa Capital Dispatch about the visit to our state here by U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright. This is last week. He came to specifically support data centers. He wants to see them built everywhere in the U.S. It says they're critical to our, quote, reindustrialization. One of the few things I agreed with Trump on in his first campaign was his opposition to NAFTA. And I do like the idea of having more jobs in the U.S., but to paint this just as a jobs issue, well, I mean, and Wright does go beyond that, but, and he made these comments in Cedar Rapids, where there's a lot of controversy. That's Iowa's second largest city. And there's a bunch of controversy right now about a data center being built there. According to Wright, Trump's agenda is we're going to lean in. We're not going to go slow. We're not going to nudge us toward manufacturing again. We're going to do whatever it takes. Okay, whatever it takes, I guess, also means cramming a data center down the throats of people who don't want it. And they don't want it for a whole range of reasons. The incredible energy usage. I mean, these things are energy hogs like no other. The water usage. So, and again, Wright and other proponents of data centers say, well, you know, right now we figured out a way to do a closed loop water system. You know, so I've heard things about concerns about these closed loop water systems. But to get additional information, I went to our friend AI, and I asked AI for their take on closed loop water systems. And AI said, while they are more water efficient than open systems, they face significant challenges, including high chemical contamination in, quote, blowdown discharge, whatever that is, mineral buildup, corrosion, and high upfront costs. While they reduce evaporation by up to 70%, they still require, quote, makeup water, and contaminants like glycol that can contaminate local water systems if not managed. I hope people continue to push back against these data centers for a bunch of reasons. Energy, water, land use, and the biggest concern I have overall is the existential threat that AI threatens us with.